Tee off your morning with the Mickey Flyler Show. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
We take out our drivers, we tee up, and that ball goes sailing up into the sky, holds there for a moment, and then...
Only on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Big deal going on right now at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. We have the Tiger tune-ups. Right now, you're going to save over $100 by getting your HVAC unit tuned up right now. Normally, right now it's $89, which is over $100 off. So how's your air doing? How's your heating doing? How's your cooling doing? Is it running efficiently? Do you want to avoid breakdowns? Do you want to lower your power bills? So get an expert tune-up. Only $89. Go to BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com, BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com, and mention the Tiger Tune-Up Special. Get the tune-up for $89. Go to BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Machine lasts longer, more efficient, lower power bills. You'll love our great friends over at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Again, BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Ask about that Tiger Special. To our guest lines, Tony Morrell, TheBigSpur.com, joins us. Good morning, Tony. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Mickey. How about you?
Doing great. Gamecocks get on the board with a great win. Let's talk about first the opening series. Man, it looked on time, it rhythm, a bunch of different formations, a really good balance, and it looked like it was great. Let's talk about the first drive first. What'd you like? What'd you see? And what was the catalyst for a really crisp opening drive on offense?
Well, I agree with you. You know, that was about as good a start as South Carolina could ask for offensively. I really liked how Shula used the tight ends on the opening drive. You know, first play of the game, they sneak Maurice Brown out and hit him in the flat, and he picks up good yardage after the catch, and ran a very similar play to the other side with Brady Hunt. And it felt like pretty much every time they used the tight ends in the game, it worked. But I don't think they used them quite as much as they probably should have, looking back. Sellers was in command and really managed things well on that opening drive and capped it off with the quarterback keeper for the touchdown and on third and five. And it was a great start. And I think after that, I think – at least to me, it felt like Shula was trying to establish the run to set up play action. And, South Carolina was just not getting enough push, particularly on the interior of the line, to get the running backs going, rather. They had some moments where the running backs had good plays, but they never really found a consistent running game, and it made it more difficult to set up those play action type plays. But in the end, they were able to hit with the Nick Harbor touchdown over the top that sealed the game. And that was an example of this kind of play Shula was trying to set up earlier in the game, but just couldn't get the running backs going.
How did Lenore Sellers play in your opinion?
I would say up and down. He protected the ball and seemed – more patient in the pocket, which I know is one of the things Shula has been working on with him to really give him or to get him to be a little bit more patient and give plays more time to develop. I thought he did it. There were signs that that was paying off. Ran it pretty well when he did run it. I don't think they ran him as much as I would have liked to have seen them have him involved in the running game. I think this offense is better when a team feels like they have to account for Sellers on every play, that he could run it at any time. And it felt like Shula was relying solely on the running backs, or at least primarily on the running backs. And I think that makes life easier on the defense when they don't have to account for Sellers in the running game. But I thought he was solid overall. Made a few great individual plays, missed on a couple of throws. But overall, a pretty typical first game of the year.
I'm going to give him a compliment and then a question here. I like the fact, he takes too many sacks. And a lot of that's protection. But what's interesting is he's a big, strong athlete, and he's unbelievable in a run game and a scramble game a little bit, but he takes too many sacks. But the compliment part of that is because I like the fact that he's looking downfield. You know, so many running quarterbacks, when they get pressure in the pocket, they'll look at the defense, look down, and try to find an escape route in there. He's still looking downfield. The point, though, there is as experience comes, you got to have a little bit better feel for it. Should I be surprised that they take as many sacks? Is that on the offensive line? Is that on him? Because there was a bunch of negative plays in there, and I just feel like that maybe they should be better at taking a fewer sacks than what he takes.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think it's a little of both. I think they did have some protection issues at time, particularly on plays where Virginia Tech brought pressure, and that's not necessarily completely on the offensive line. When a team brings pressure, tight ends, running backs, there's a lot of different players involved in picking it up, and they didn't always do a good job of that. But I do think Sellers could borrow a page from Spencer Rattler. If you went back and watched how Rattler played, one of the things he did really well was get rid of the ball and not take a sack,
right,
when possible. And you rarely see Sellers intentionally throw the ball away unless he's just rolling out and nobody's open. He throws it in the sidelines. But, learning to just throw it at someone's feet or throw it over a defender or a pass catcher in the flat's head or whatever, just to get rid of the ball to avoid those negative plays, I think that's one of the areas where he needs to develop as a quarterback. And because certainly once he gets to the NFL, you can't take those sacks. It makes life very tough on your offense. And I thought South Carolina was playing from behind on the chains too often. They were not very productive on first down on a lot of their drives. And, there's a huge difference between second and 10, second and 11 versus, second and 4, second and 5. And they just weren't getting enough yards on first down. And I think that limits what you can do on second down from a play calling standpoint when you're constantly in second and long, third and long. So that's an area where they certainly need to improve.
It's one game. We don't overreact. Half full or half empty. Tight ends caught 6 balls and 2 of the running backs, but on the other side, wide receivers only 4 catches. Only 2 wide receivers caught footballs. Half full of that. You like the tight end stuff. Half empty. You want to see more guys step up. I imagine it's probably a little bit of both after week one.
Yeah, a little of both. Like I said, it felt like every time they went to the tight ends, it worked, and I think you certainly could have done more with them, and can do more with them going forward. They need more production from the receivers. Jared Brown didn't play. He was on the sideline. He was healthy as far as we know, but did not play, and we're not sure exactly why just yet. We're trying to find out more on that. But, Vandrevious Jacobs did not do anything, and he's a guy who's had a good camp and had a really good spring as well. Donovan Murph was the only true freshman who had a catch, and we've heard a lot about the newcomers at receiver. But there's no question they need more production from those guys. And, for the offense to have the kind of year I think it needs to have to take some pressure off the defense and put South Carolina in a position to be a more consistent football team, they need the receivers to produce. So, they get the opportunity this weekend with South Carolina State coming to town, I think, to get the receivers more involved, to get the true freshmen more on the field and get a better feel for who's going to be able to help them this season at that position. But there's no question that the receivers need to do more. But I really liked what I saw from the tight ends, and that really was without Michael Smith, who didn't play. We think he was in concussion protocol and didn't play. So, it was mainly Maurice Brown, Brady Hunt, and Jordan Dingle. But you add Michael Smith to the mix there too, and all of a sudden you've got 4 guys that can produce and do good things. So, and they ran a lot of 2 tight end sets against Virginia Tech, and I think you'll continue to see that. And I think that they have a chance to have a good year.
offensive line assessment, how'd they play?
Well, the left guard position was a struggle. Shed Surratt was slated to be the starter and was in concussion protocol and didn't make the trip. And they need him to get back in the lineup. That position really was a struggle. They went with Rodney Newsome in the first half, Marky Anderson in the second half. And you know, Anderson, I think, played a little bit better than Newsome, but neither was very strong. And it was a glaring weakness and an area that Virginia Tech, you know, I think, attacked and took advantage of. But I thought the tackles played pretty well from what I could tell. I thought Bo Stanley played pretty well. You know, it was a mix at right guard, too. I think really both of those spots were not great. It, you know, they hope when they get Surratt back that'll stabilize left guard and you know, they can be more productive. But I think it was a tough start to the year for the most part, particularly when it came to giving the running backs room.
Defensively, a great job. Obviously, you hold somebody to 11 points. That's great. They did a terrific job on, you know, for the most part, stopped the run, held to 115 yards, held them to 3.1 yards per carry. Jones had a few throws in there. I thought Virginia Tech's wide receivers made plays downfield. I thought the coverage was good. And then obviously, you know, the special teams a big part of that. Thoughts about what you saw from the defense and tackling and pressuring Jones and stopping the run?
Well, I think the thing that stood out the most is South Carolina's defense can run.
Yeah.
And I thought that coming into the game, and it was good to see it, you know, play out that way, because when you're inexperienced, you better be able to run to make up for some of the mistakes that are going to happen. And the linebackers in particular really were flying around. You know, Fred Johnson led the team in tackles and looked great. Justin Okoronkwo, you know, did not start the game but played a good bit. I really liked what I saw from him. Sean Murphy looked good. I thought the interior of the defensive line held up pretty well. You know, they were rotating guys in and out. Nick Barrett had one of his best games as a Gamecock. Gabriel Brownlow Dindy played well when he came in. You know, I do think the secondary, like you said, I think there were some instances where Virginia Tech's receivers just made great plays. The other side of it is I thought South Carolina's secondary benefited from some of the drops that Virginia Tech's receivers had. And there were a few in there that could have been drive-changing type plays if their receivers held on to the ball. So, you know, there's, I think, some – and in fairness to the secondary, Judge Collier goes out, you know, second drive of the game. We hope to know more on him soon, but has a knee injury. Miles Norwood limped off the field in the second half, and South Carolina basically played the entire fourth quarter with DeMarcus Leach, a true freshman who's making the transition from high school safety to college corner, and he was out there for, you know, almost the entire fourth quarter and did give up one play down the field, but, you know, held up pretty well. But I don't think, you know, having him out there for the entire fourth quarter was necessarily in the game plan for South Carolina. And, you know, they held up pretty well, all things considered. But I do think they're going to have to clean up some things and you know, you can't rely on receivers dropping some of the passes that the Virginia Tech dropped.
One more non-conference week this week. Things that you'd like to see. This is a construction week this week, and things you an ability to work on some things. What's on the to-do list as far as improvements and things we might see from the Gamecock Saturday night?
Well, offensively, you know, I think they need to establish a run and feel better about themselves going into the Vanderbilt game about their ability to run the football. You know, I thought Attaway and Faison both had flashes and some good plays, but they need more room to run. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you've got in the backfield. If they're getting hit as soon as they get the ball, or as soon as they get to the line of scrimmage, it makes it tough. You get the receivers more involved. You know, I think that's something we talked about earlier in the segment, but it's vital, you know, for the offense to operate the way Shula wants it to operate. The receivers have to be involved. They have to be able to run the ball, and they have to be able to set up play action. It's just not very effective when you can't run it. So, and you know, continue to work the tight ends in there and play better on the offensive line. Defensively, you know, I think you just you clean up some of the little things that they could have done better against Virginia Tech, but I don't think you change too much on that side of the ball with the way they played, and you know, just continue doing what you're doing on that side of the ball and get the offense a little bit more confidence, a little bit more rhythm and more production and feel better about yourselves when Vanderbilt comes to town and go from there.
Know anything about injuries? I know he'll have a press conference today, but know anything about injuries right now? Any concerns? Obviously, you got a couple of starters that have been out, didn't play or else got hurt in the game Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, we'll expect an update on Michael Smith and Shed Surratt. I would think both of them will be back based on what we've heard. Judge Collier had an MRI done yesterday. I don't know if they've gotten the results yet or not, but just based on the way they immediately put him in a brace and on crutches and ruled him out, I wouldn't say it looked great for him. I hope I'm wrong for his sake, but it wouldn't surprise me if that is a long-term type injury. And then Miles Norwood limped off but was not getting medical attention and seemed to be okay on the sidelines even though he didn't come back in. I don't think that one was too serious, but I'm sure Beamer will give at least his version of a full update on those guys as best he can. Sometimes he's a little funny about what he'll comment on and what he won't when it comes to injuries, but they definitely suffered a higher number of injuries than you'd like to see in the first game of the year.
All right, tell us about the Big Spur. Obviously still reviewing. I know you got a bunch of recruits coming in and the home opener on Saturday night, a good time to subscribe to thebigspur.com.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, South Carolina's 1-0, and you know, it's going to be a fun season, I think, and be a great time for anyone out there considering it to join the site. So just go to thebigspur.com and become a premium member today and get all the great Gamecock info throughout the season.
Place to find it, thebigspur.com. Let's review it and talk about the conference opener when we visit next week, Tony.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mickey.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call today. Our great friends at Carolina Flooring Specialists, your garage floor can look amazing. Mine does. I love what ours looks like right now. I love the fact that Carolina Flooring Specialists does an incredible job. But hey, check out the videos. Look at their residential flooring, commercial flooring, industrial flooring, what they do. Your garage floor can look awesome. This 100% solid resin-based epoxy, the floor coatings that they've done over 4 million square feet. You know, some companies doing it out right now. Not anybody's done 21,000 projects. Not anybody's done over 4 million square feet of floors. These guys are awesome. So this is a 25-plus years in business, the most experienced team out there doing this in the upstate, and see what people are saying about them. It is our great friends over at Carolina Flooring Specialists. Get that garage floor done. Get it done right. CarolinaFlooringSpecialists.com. Call my friend Tim Ward today. Set up a 10-minute, no-obligation appointment. CarolinaFlooringSpecialists.com. 404-8158. 404-8158. Open phone lines. And to be honest with you, I got to get in my text line today. I hadn't really touched the Adams and Cover text line. We'll try that. Phone calls are a priority, but we'll try that when you come back. Much more to this.
Folks, I think we can all agree that being overweight is a challenge. So many issues related to weight gain would just resolve themselves if only we could get that weight under control. And listen to me, the answer is not Ozempic. The answer is not more GLP-1 from a pill or a shot. The answer is a real natural solution from PhD weight loss. PhD patients drop up to a third of their body weight without ever taking a drug. And sure, if you want to pay up to $20,000 a year to spend on losing precious muscle, be my guest. That's what happens when you go the Ozempic route. And don't even get me started on the endless list of side effects. Here's the deal. PhD weight loss helps you wake up your metabolism so your body produces its own weight loss hormones. So if you're already on Ozempic and want to transition off, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team will help you do it safely while continuing to shed those pounds. Call today, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. or go to myphdweightloss.com.
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower, the list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
Call the plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber.
Hey Clemson fans, college football is back, and to celebrate, Engineered Sleep is having a Labor Day mattress sale. Starting Monday, August 25th until September 14th, find some time between football games to make it out to Engineered Sleep. They have brand new products for you to see and huge in-store savings. Engineered Sleep keeps it simple and easy, just like mattress buying should be. You have to check them out on 333 North Pleasantburg Drive in Greenville, across from Krispy Kreme.
Why shop Reed's Jewelers and Haywood Mall? Let's start with a state-of-the-art 21st century showroom. Add to that an elegant selection of Swiss watches for him and an exquisite portfolio of diamonds for her. Need more? Award-winning sales professionals providing world-class customer service. All backed by a family-owned company in business for nearly 80 years. Just a few great reasons to shop Reed's Jewelers. Haywood Mall, next to Belk, online at Reed's.com.
For quality luxury vinyl, engineered wood flooring, tile, carpet, custom area rugs, and solid hardwood, backed by professional installation and competitive pricing, depend on Greer Flooring Center, serving the Carolinas for over 30 years. Greer Flooring Center is on trend with the newest quality luxury vinyl flooring that is a perfect option for the active family with kids and pets. For the largest selection of home or business flooring, visit Greer Flooring Center, now open at 5606 Calhoun Memorial Highway. Ask about our available financing options.
Looking for your dream home? Empire Homes, family owned for over 30 years, invites you to Sunrise in Pendleton, just minutes from Clemson. Choose from one or two story homes starting in the low 400s with 2 to 5 bedrooms and up to 3,400 square feet. Personalize every detail in our design studio and enjoy the planned pool and walking trail amenities. Right now, save up to $25,000 on completed homes or up to $15,000 when you build. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com because your house should feel like home.
Strong industries build strong communities. For over 35 years, Industrial Motor Service has kept the Upstate's factories, farms, and utilities running, powering everything from clean water to packaged goods to everyday essentials. Trusted by the region's leading manufacturers, IMS repairs and replaces critical equipment. Motors, pumps, and gearboxes of every size. Because when industry thrives, our community thrives. IMS, keeping the upstate moving. Learn more at industrialmotorservice.com.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you guys can help a lot as far as preparing for those winter storms.
We have a product called a tree growth regulator. It doesn't stop the tree from being healthy. It just stops it from getting taller. Growth regulating your trees will make the roots stronger, the trunk stronger long term, and they'll survive the winter storms better. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
High school football is in full swing, and our new marketing partners with Whataburger are all in this season, sponsoring high school football every Friday night right here on The Roar. We're taking Facts on Sports on the road this week with a live show at the new Whataburger location in Anderson at 2900 North Main Street. Join me and John Height as we preview the Troy at Clemson game and talk all things football across the spectrum. That's Facts on Sports live in Anderson this Thursday, September 4th, 9 till noon.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tuning in from the car?
Flips it for the touchdown!
Stay connected to The Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download The Roar app on your phone by searching WCCPFM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
I sure hope you don't have, with your garage door, door spring repair and replacements or door cable repair or garage door service and repair or door track or door paneling replacements or motor replacements. And I mean, I don't be having any of that stuff, but it happens. And garage doors break. 24-hour emergency service is available at American Doormasters. 990-3075, 990-3075, AmericanDoormasters.com. They do an absolutely incredible job for you. Quick, fast, easy, locally owned, licensed, bonded, insured. So when your door, that garage door, residential, commercial, when it does go down, place to find them, just get help, get it done, get you back to a normal way of living, AmericanDoormasters.com. Telephone number 654-ROAR. You told me during the break that we've had over 150 different textures in the first 2.5 hours of the show.
Yes.
And I've read zero on the air so far. Deadhead Tiger says, thanks for the scarlet.
Scarlet begonias. That's
begonias. Oh, okay. I know what that is.
It's a Grateful Dead song we came back with. All right. Of course, Deadhead Tiger.
All right. 1722. I'm just going to go straight down and try to get as many as I can and take some phone calls here. At what point did Dabo transform Tommy Bowden? He can no longer win meaningful games and afterwards press conference. It's all shucks, laughs, and jokes, reminiscent of the Bowden years. Look, I will just say this. There's a lot of people that are upset today by what he said. You want me to tell you what he also said? He also said that this is from the coach's show last night about abandoning run. There wasn't a change. We just didn't commit to the run. We just did a poor job as coaches. If you're going to put on a passing game, you got to execute, and we didn't do that. We did a poor job. We just didn't give the run a chance. Now, that didn't sound like Rosie all shucks to me. So you got to listen a little bit of that. Now, again, he's got to be careful because he can't blame players and all that. But this, let me be very, very clear about this. When you lose a football game or when things don't go the way you think they're going to go, everybody wants heads to roll. I want an answer. I want this. I want that. I don't care about an answer. Answer is on the field. What he says, if he'd have got up there and spoke German and whistled zippity-doo, I don't care. The answers aren't going to come in a media press conference. The answers aren't going to go, it might make you feel, what can he say to make you feel better? We stunk it up. We did terrible. He said that. We did terrible. But you're not upset by what he said. That's a symptom. The cure is you didn't block anybody. You couldn't run it. You didn't commit to the run. The quarterback made bad reads. He made bad throws. When he did throw it on time and threw it somewhere, they dropped the ball. The offense was absolutely embarrassing. It was an awful offensive performance. You're mad about 13 first downs. You're mad about 31 yards rushing. You're mad about 1.6 yards per carry. You're mad about 3 of 13 on third downs. What he says, who cares? That's like you got a – I don't want to get my analogies. You got all these major things that are going on, and you care about what somebody says. Who cares? Just fix it. Just fix it.
It's like asking a politician, why haven't you done the things that you promised to do during the election?
Yeah.
What does the answer mean anything?
No.
No.
No, it's the words. I don't want words. I don't want a wordsmith. In losses, you're seeing it right now. They're grilling Kalen DeBoer right now about what he's saying. They're grilling Sarkisian right now about what he's saying. Who cares what they say? What is Sarkisian supposed to say? That we had 336 yards of total offense? That Arch Manning played terrible? Wait, is that going to make you feel better if he says that? That Arch made bad reads and didn't have time to throw? And that's going to make you feel better? DeBoer, what is he going to tell you? We got beat on both lines of scrimmage, didn't play very well. Some answer is going to satisfy you? Like, oh, well, now I feel so much better. No, you know I feel bad? Because you stunk it up Saturday night offensively. Because you've lost 4 out of 5 openers. Because you've held the opponent to 17 points in the last two home games and lost both those. Because you've lost three out of four of your last home games, and the only one you beat in your last four home games was the Citadel. That's what you're upset about, not what a coach says. Coach saying, yeah, what's he say this? Say that. Who cares? Execute. After you win the national championship game, I don't care what the coach says. After you beat your arch rival, I don't care what this coach says. It's the fact that you executed and you made plays and you won and you did. Not a word. Stevens in Raleigh. Steven, thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Hey, Mickey. Good morning. First, let me say, Mickey, I was at the game Saturday night.
You got a ticket?
Had a great time.
Yeah.
I found a ticket. Yep.
Right. If you don't mind me asking, what kind of price range are we talking about here?
$250.
That ain't bad.
$250, 20-yard line. One of my friends, his brother, had an extra ticket, so he sold it to me, and we had great seats. And Mickey, let me just say this first, and then I'll get to the actual game itself. I have been going to Clemson games for 30-plus years now. I did not go to the 2016 Louisville game. That was – the environment that Clemson has is second to none. It is unbelievable. Mickey, did you go to the game? Were you there?
I was there.
Mickey, that is big-time college football environment. The environment, everything around the game. I mean, the stadium was almost full 35 minutes before kickoff. It was unbelievable. And I just – that's the way it should be. That's big-time college football. I talked to a few fans of LSU before the game, and they were like, you know, what can we expect? And I'm sure it was exceeded their expectations of what they saw and just the overall environment. Mickey, on to the game. It's really unacceptable, and I think that they ran the ball or attempted to run the ball four times in the second half. Am I right by saying that?
One time with the running back. The very first carry of the second half was a running back, and not one running back carry after that.
Yeah. So that's a problem, because what that does is and Brian Kelly actually said it, they became predictable. Their offense became predictable, and when you do not create situations to where you keep the defense guessing, they're just gonna tee off on you, and that's exactly what they did, because they knew Clemson was not gonna run the ball.
Yep.
To me, outside of what actually happened during the game, abandoning the run that early is just flat out unacceptable. I agree with Chad from Columbia. I agree with the gentleman who called after that, talking about the transfer portal. I personally, Mickey, that Clemson is playing, and it's starting to become a trend. Now, you look at the last four games against SEC schools, obviously Louisville last year, and so on and so on. Clemson's kind of playing with one hand tied behind their back. And I hate to say that, but I don't understand why we're not using all the resources that are available to us to go out there and just at least get some experience.
Yeah,
right?
I'm with you.
We're not using all resources. Right. We saw that Saturday. I mean, I don't mind Adam Randall playing running back. That's fine and dandy, but he has no experience playing running back other than a few plays against Texas last year. Right?
Right.
Meanwhile, take a look at South Carolina. I believe, and I could be wrong, but both of their running backs, Faison and Attaway, are 25 years old.
Yep.
25 years old.
Yep. But have no business playing college football. But that's what I'm going to do. That's what the world is. Go do that. Yeah.
Well, so do you believe, Mickey, in your opinion, do you believe that will change in the future?
I don't know.
Do you believe it will change at Clemson?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think so, and they did a little bit of it this year, but I don't know.
Yeah, but Mickey, Tristan Smith, did he play?
No, but that, you know, what's he going to do? The quarterback can't throw it and can't pick him out and all that. Look, I'd say this. I blame Dabo for not taking a punter. The punter looked good. But last year –
Yeah, the punter looked fine.
The last year, the idea that Maffa –
got hurt and you had no other running backs, and then Taines goes down and that's it? Like, you had to take running backs in the portal last year.
Mickey Moffa was hurt. Yeah. He was hurt the entire second half of last year, and they still played him. Yep. We were playing with a hurt running back for the last half of the year.
Yep.
And to not have a backup, a viable, legitimate backup, is inexcusable.
Yep.
It just is. This has become a trend. I don't think we rushed for 100 yards against South Carolina last year. We rushed for, 31 Saturday night? Texas, nowhere near 100 yards, I don't believe. I could be wrong, last December. I mean, look at Louisville. Look at the last seven big games. Even some of the mid-tier ACC teams that we played, they're not even scratching 100 yards on the ground.
Had 139 against South Carolina last year. And against Louisville, they did have a ton of rushing yards. Against Louisville last year, they ran for 222.
Okay.
I actually had 450 yards of offense, outgained Louisville by almost 100 yards, but missed a bunch of field goals and all that kind of stuff. The Texas game, where you had everybody hurt, you don't have no running backs, you had 40 – what did you have in that game rushing? Yeah, I'm sorry, you had 76 yards rushing in that game. But Georgia last year couldn't run the football, didn't try to run the football. And against Georgia last year, you had 23 carries, 46 yards last year. Last year, running back-wise, Moffa carried it 16 times. Adam one carry, Haynes one carry against Georgia. You got to commit to the run more, man. You got to at least show them the run. You can't stop yourself by not running the football.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. It was really disappointing. I think that Clemson will go on to have a good year, just like last year. But at the same time, Mickey, we're starting to see a trend here. We used to win the big game. We used to win the big game against the Louisvilles and the Alabamas and the Texas A&Ms and the Auburns, and it's just not happening anymore. The landscape is changing, and we have to get with the times. They have to get with the times, because other teams are just plug and play. They're just plug and play.
Yeah.
And their experience is coming from the portal. Their experience is coming from guys who are proven, and they're just plug and play guys, exactly the way we saw it Saturday night.
A Clemson fan in four of the last 5 years, when you start the season not only losing, but looking bad in Charlotte against Georgia, looking bad in Atlanta against Georgia, looking bad in Durham against Duke, and looking bad against LSU on offense, it's like Saturday night. It just takes so much of your enthusiasm away when you start at 0-1 and you got a million question marks going into week 2.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep. You're right. It's tough. It's a tough little swallow.
Yep.
You know, again, we'll see what happens. I tell you what, Mickey, that Georgia Tech game in Atlanta,
huge is
huge. You lose that game, you're behind the eight ball the rest of the way.
Yeah, and Syracuse and Florida State and SMU and Duke and Louisville and South Carolina. There's a lot of games that are now on the table that in the preseason you didn't think would be on the table. You play like you played Saturday night, and you're going to lose a bunch of those games.
Oh, my gosh.
But you can improve. But you got to run the football. If you don't run the ball against Georgia Tech or Florida State or SMU or Duke or Louisville or South Carolina, then there's a bunch of heads rolling over there on that staff. You got to run the football. Hey, man, got to run.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Good phone call. Appreciate the phone call there. Patterson Tax Service is saving people money. Save me money. I love the Patterson Tax Service, and I love the fact that this staff is there planning your taxes right now. We're in that, you know, going at like last quarter, and this is where the end of the year means so many great things about what you could be doing tax-wise to save you money for the next year. And so get those quarterlies done, get your business taxes done, get any of your amended taxes, any back taxes, by the way, and any extensions, they do all of that. And then the bookkeeping, daily, weekly, monthly tracking, bookkeeping, accounting, payroll, get all that out of your hair for your small businesses. Let these folks take care of it for you. I hear so many awesome reviews. Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com, 864-859-8289. If you're on hold, hang on. One more open phone line segment to end the show right after this.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
This Saturday, the Clemson Tigers take on the Troy Trojans in Death Valley, and the best coverage anywhere is right here on The Roar. It starts 6 hours before kickoff at 9:30 with the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Join Grace and Ashby and me for that. Then transition to 12:30 Tiger tailgate show. Facts and Childress and his crew will take you up to kickoff with Don Munson, Tim Beret, and Reggie Merriweather. And then Donald Clark and I will have all the analysis you need on the fifth quarter show. It's your home for wall-to-wall Clemson football game day coverage, a flagship station for Clemson athletics. We are The Roar.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear, as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo, we have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Petroid Road, exit 90, on I-85.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstrapproofing.com.
Hey guys, dealing with ED or low T? Don't just accept it. Act like a man and fix it. Your old lady will thank you. Guaranteed. At Low Country Male, testosterone and ED plans start at just $5 a day. You'll get labs, unlimited doctor visits, and real results. Right now, get 2 months of free ED meds with any new plan, plus 30% off NAD Plus and peptides. With 8 South Carolina locations, it's time to make men men again. Visit lowcountrymail.com.
Homeowners and landscapers, a fescue loan with a guarantee is finally here from topdressing.com. You want a dark green, lush, healthy fescue loan that's the best in the neighborhood? Call 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com to get the best compost fescue top dressing from your friends at topdressing.com. It's that simple. It's guaranteed. Just call 888-850-1850 and place your order to have a magnificent, beautiful fescue lawn you'll enjoy all year long. Call 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com. Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I am just like my mother.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's Mattress Firm's once-a-year sale and clearance. Get up to 70% off a wide selection of top brands, plus a free adjustable base, all with free and fast delivery. Deals this big won't last long, so don't miss out. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Everyone knows nothing goes better with football than Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca remain your reliable source for game day food. Get your trays, nuggets, minis, strips, and more. Herb, class of 82, and Carol, class of 84, know the importance of football and great food, so get on the Chick-fil-A app or call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 864-886-9080 to make sure you're all set to eat what you love during the big game.
Welcome to the Ingles Table, a delicious destination with recipes galore.
Need to whip up a dessert, entree, side dish? No problem. The experts from the Ingles table take you through it step by step with expert tips and advice along the way. Find the Ingles table at ingles-markets.com or swing by the store and pick up your free copy of the Ingles Table magazine. And let's get cooking. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Ready, ready!
Saturdays in the South start right here with college football talk all summer long on The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Roosters, Roosters MGC. Let them take care of you over at Roosters. Roosters does an absolutely amazing job with the men's haircut, men's straight razor shave, back of the neck shave, getting ready for whatever big thing you got coming up. Your big meeting, your big deal, your little Cubs going back to school and getting all set. Take care of it, Roosters. Plaza on Pelham, Pelham Road in Greenville, the app, the website. The seven-step facial, the neck massage, the head massage. Go get pampered. Go do it over at Roosters. RoostersMGC.com. Phone calls, I promise everybody on hold, I'm going to get to before the end of the show. Friars in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Good morning, Friar. Thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Hey, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Man, I'm great. I hope you are, too.
Doing good. Doing good. First time caller. Been listening for a very long time. I know we played golf a couple times together, too, as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, yeah, man, so just wanted to touch on a couple things. I just think this offense just seems to be kind of stuck back in that 2010 era. I mean, and honestly, got to kind of blame Dabo on that. It just seems to be a little to no evolution on the offensive scheme. I mean, he brings in Garrett Riley, and you want to see, you know, more motion and getting those players open. I mean, I feel like we just stay on 10 and 11 personnel and spread two-man routes on the outside and just try to do zone read play or, you know, zone run plays. And just you got to get some guys in motion. I just think that's why we brought Garrett Riley in. I just don't think we see any of that. And just want to kind of get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of that, I do think you have to scheme guys open. I do think you have to scheme things. A lot of play calling to me is timing and the right play call at the right time. But in the end, you got to be able to block people. Now, you got to help them out by blocking, by calling pressure release plays. You know, LSU was blitzing like crazy Saturday night. Almost every play, constant pressure. So what do you do there? Well, you screen game. I don't know, Clemson fans don't want to see bubble screens and screen game, but the quick throw game gets you out of that. What LSU did, get you off balance a little bit, get the ball in perimeter a little bit, and then you hit the run game up inside to slow down, you know, guys doing that. You slow the pass rush down by you know, being able to run it a little bit and slow the defensive ends from getting upfield too quickly, and you make Perkins cover rather than doing that. A run game would help. All of it is kind of it's a big picture thing. All of it kind of helps in there. But it really helps is when you execute that, you know, play calls are important. And I do think they commit to run. But still, no matter what the call is, the quarterback's got to make the right read. And then he's got to make the right throw and throw on time. He's got to have good protection. And then the receivers had to catch the ball. Fryer, on Saturday night, line didn't block very well. The play calling was awful. Didn't commit to the run. The quarterback was scrambling and seeing ghosts and not stepping up in the pocket when there was a pocket. Oftentimes, it wasn't a pocket. When he did throw it, he didn't throw it accurately. When he threw it accurately, they dropped ball. So, I mean, it is Garrett Riley's responsibility. And I put an awful lot of blame on what I saw Saturday night. But there's a lot of blame to be shared for what we saw Saturday night also.
That's true. Yeah. I think one good thing is that defense is definitely good enough to win a championship.
Yeah.
I thought the linebacker play was great.
Yeah.
We looked great. I thought we looked good on the back end. Tackled a lot better. That new defensive end from the portal.
Yeah, helped
great.
Helped made a great sack. Yeah.
I don't know, the defensive tackles in the middle, they were kinda disappointing to me. Looked a little lazy in the middle. Did like what I saw from was it Stephon Green?
Yeah, I thought he was the best defensive tackle.
Agreed. Yeah. But just need to see a little bit more hustle from those defensive tackles. I didn't see a lot of hustle.
I want to see more productivity from Peter Woods. I get an awful lot of hype, but I want to, and by the way, not making a tackle 8 yards downfield. You know, I don't need him making that. I want to see him making more disruption and being a little more productive. You know, an awful lot of hype, but I want to see more productivity out of it. And Parker as well.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, brother.
Y'all have a good
Thanks a lot.
Day.
Appreciate it, Fryer. Good phone call for sure. 654-ROAR. Bert is in Maud. And Bert, thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Pretty good. Listen, I know it's all doom and gloom in the Clemson camp this morning, but as a person who watched the game on TV, you know, the biggest thing I was surprised at was just how good LSU's defensive line was. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be that good. No. If they're that good this early in the season, watch out for that crowd. But the TV announcers were very complimentary of both teams, but when Cade Klubnik has to run for his life on every single play, I can't really blame him for that. I just didn't know LSU's defensive line was going to be that good. And I thought, like the previous caller said, I see a lot of good things about Clemson's defense. I mean, we got one of the best linebacking corps in the country. I thought their secondary held up pretty well. But I think the difference in this game was just LSU's defensive line. I just didn't know they were going to be that good.
Bert, I would agree. And their secondary, too. I thought the coverage was fantastic. I thought the defensive game plan was great. But to me, I was more impressed with LSU. That's my number one takeaway from the game. LSU is a much better football team. Very well coached. A lot of athletes, a lot of different places. I was extremely impressed. And it makes me feel good because I picked LSU to go to the playoffs. I thought Clemson would win the game. I thought LSU, as the season went on, would go get better, and they will. But this is a team that's got an awful lot to like. I came away more impressed with LSU than anything else.
Well, I mean, it's not like Clemson got beat 50 to nothing. I mean, they lost by a touchdown in the last 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was right there. So, I think, Dabble will clean it up, and I think that because it takes a while to get used to your new defensive coordinator, but – I just think LSU is scary. It's scary good.
Would agree.
And I hate the fact that we have to go down there and play them in about a month. If our offensive line doesn't block any better than they did against Virginia Tech, Sellers will be dead before the end of the halftime. But anyway, y'all keep your head up. It's going to be a fine season, and it's not like they got rolled by a bad team. You know, they got beat by a very good team at the very last minute of the game. So that's how I saw it.
Bert, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks an awful lot.
Hope
you have a great day today. Final phone call of the day, Tim in Greenville. Tim, thanks for hanging on. How you doing? Hey, Tim. You there?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm a 1965 grad. What I saw was bad is quarterback protection.
Yep.
As long as the offensive line can't stop, the time that quarterback had was when they brought a second blocker in the backfield, and that protected our quarterback, and they didn't continue to do that. On the last play of the game, they didn't even have a chance to complete the pass. So, you know, that's one of the problems. The only person on the team that's going to win a nat day right now is the quarterback. We're supposed to have an elite receiver core, one guy goes down, nobody steps up. Elite defensive line, how much rushing yards did LSU have? It's like Texas. They ran on us, and then they completed the passes. Our defense is not elite like we were prepped to think about. We've got to do some things. I don't know what changes they made at halftime, but I didn't see any.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Tim, LSU ran for 108, and Texas ran for about 300 or 350-something. That was different there. The point you make, great, that I totally agree with, was the protection. You got to protect. The way you protect, you got to run the ball a little bit and then keep them off balance a little bit. But, the defensive lead, holding LSU to 17 points, holding them to, I think I'm right by saying this, offensive. I appreciate the phone call, Tim. Thanks a lot. They held LSU to 354 yards. You know, I think we said last year two teams held LSU under 400 yards. It's gonna be it's a good offensive team. They got a lot of weapons. Defensively, Clemson didn't lose that game. That was all on the offense in every aspect on the offense. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands. Brad Hughes, good hands. Allstate 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes at Shirts.com. Better coverage, better rates. Starts with Brad Hughes. Make the phone call. See if we can help you out. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. We got time. Music, 2-minute drill for a week.
Try to get 4 minutes of content into 2 minutes. It's time for the 2-minute drill on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Now, here's Mickey.
Quickly, in his college coaching debut, Bill Belichick gave up 48 points to TCU, which is the same as the age gap between him and his girlfriend.
Dang.
48.
Dang. Did y'all see where they are 0 for the last 22 third down conversions?
Going back to last year.
Going back to last year. Man, that ain't good. My 2-minute drill brought to you by Eric Newton, EricNewton.com. For all real estate needs, EricNewton.com. Get in touch with Eric, and which they do a terrific job with. We love EricNewton.com. And don't forget about Greenleaf and what's going on there. Bottom line is that these people are amazing, that I love everything about what Eric and his great team are doing right now. You know, Greenleaf is a brand new, modern, craft style duplex townhomes right now. Just a mile from campus, you can see an awful lot of great things going on. Find out more about that, tiger-properties.com, and complete terrific stuff there from ericnewton.com. My 2-minute drill is, well, number one, we didn't even talk about it. It seems like when Clemson misses a field goal, then a chance to go up by 2 scores, but that was huge. The missed field goal was huge. And the other thing is, like, when Clemson misses a field goal, it seems like everything kind of goes downhill from there. It happened in Louisville last year. You see an awful lot there. So, got to convert those for sure, among all the other things. Doom, gloom, and despair. It was a show today. But look, there's some trends out there that don't make you feel too good through all that. Today, let me thank Dr. Milt Louder from Amplus.com. Let me thank Tony Morrell of TheBigSpur.com. Do we have 200 textures today? I think it's easy to say that. Is it 200?
It could be.
Yeah, yeah. It was over 150 an hour ago. Man, they're still flooding in here.
I would say yes.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Dane Young talking Georgia, talking Ryder Cup with Andrew Oliphant. Will, great job. Have a great week. Up next, Faxton John. Have a wonderful Tuesday. More importantly, tune in tomorrow. That's when we will see it right here on the radio.